Our gospel lesson is from the sixth chapter of John, reading verses 56 through 69. See if any of this raises eyebrows. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Would you pray with me? Lord God, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with the love for you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I wonder if there have ever been times you fantasized about going back in time and hearing Jesus speak in person. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, many of you may have questions and uncertainties about your own faith and practice. You imagine that only if you were able to hear Jesus in person, there would be something mystical about that experience, and you would instantly get it. His words would transform. It would be like being caught in Star Trek's tractor beam, and you would be unavoidably dragged into all truth. Now, if any of you had such kind of daydreams, today's reading should be kind of a bucket of cold water thrown in our face. Apparently, hearing Jesus speak in person provides no such guarantee of getting it. Well, you may not have processed this with an initial quick read. If you were to take the time to read this slowly, perhaps with pen in hand, I think you would detect just a multiplicity of responses. Jesus was wrapping up a profound teaching on offering himself, and the responses were just all over the map. Perhaps all of this comes under the heading that might have been captured best in verse 60. This teaching is difficult. Who can accept this? There was complaining in verse 61. We read that Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining. There was disbelief in verse 64. Jesus said he was aware that some did not believe. There was outright rejection. In verse 66, it says, "Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him." We read of betrayal in verses 64 and 71. Of course, all this is balanced out by Peter's profession of faith. We read, "So Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also wish to go away?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Now, I think that preachers run the risk of identifying this last response, the profession of faith, as the right response. It's easy to come to that conclusion, but however, I would like to embrace all of these responses as part of the range of normal human responses. As I make my best efforts to present to you the person of Jesus today, there should be a range of responses, and that's okay. If there are not elements of complaining and disbelief and even rejection churning beneath the surface in this congregation today, then perhaps I've not painted a sufficiently audacious portrait of Jesus. Whatever your response is today, be it confused or convoluted, know that you are welcome and that you are in a safe place. I hope you hear me. It's important to me that you really believe that. I mean, seriously, when Jesus says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me," if you are not instinctively grabbing for your air sickness bag, then perhaps you're not listening. Now, of course, I know that there's seasoned Christians out there who are saying, "Just calm down." That's clearly a reference to the Lord's Supper. But really, there is no reference to the Lord's Supper anywhere in the Gospel of John. None of the crowd gathered there would have any clue what you're talking about when you say it's a reference to the Lord's Supper. I mean, on the surface, it rather sounds like cannibalism. And I might have been amongst those who would say, "Seriously? Let me get back to my podcast on meditation." I mean, some frame of reference might be helpful. In Bible study circles, John 6, starting with verse 22 through 59, is referred to as the Bread of Life discourse that was delivered at the synagogue at Capernaum. Our text this morning actually begins at the very end of that whole discourse and then concluded with various reactions to it. So what did we miss by just starting with verse 56? We miss seeing that Jesus frames this discussion by reminding them of God who provided manna in the wilderness to their spiritual ancestors. As it is written, God gave them bread from heaven to eat. He goes on to help them sort of connect the dots by saying, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but it was God who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then the punchline, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." So this then is what upset the crowd, Jesus describing himself as the bread which comes down from heaven by equating himself with manna. But this comparison, I think, is worth a little reflection. The manna that kept people alive in the desert was something that appeared fresh every day and had to be consumed anew every day. There was no such thing as storing it up. Likewise, if we think of Jesus as the bread of heaven, there is no such thing as storing up Jesus. We have to make a daily decision to abide in Jesus, to walk in the way and the spirit of Jesus. And that very thought makes me reflect anew on this whole menu of responses to Jesus that we surveyed earlier. We're inclined to review those options kind of as a once and done decision. Am I in the betrayal camp? Heaven forbid, not me. So I must be in the profession of faith camp. That's sort of the way we'd like to think of it. But if our thinking is informed by this manna comparison, maybe there is something here that needs to be reflected on daily. Maybe one day I am in the profession of faith camp, and the next day I'm in the complaining camp, and the next day I'm in the disbelief camp. Does that make any sense? So what camp are you in today, right now? If we are honest, many of us might be thinking this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? And that's okay. We like honest answers. If we were honest, we might respond to many of Jesus' teachings with, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? For example, this whole business about eating flesh and drinking blood sounds very physical. And many of us gravitate towards the spiritual and seem to be inclined to want to transcend this physical stuff. Nadia Bolz-Weber writes that we Christians have a long history of finding this idea of spirit and flesh coming together as disturbing. There was an early Christian heresy called Docetism, and I'm not totally convinced that I myself would not have been a Docetist if given the opportunity. You see, Docetists were so certain that spirit and flesh could not exist as one that they convinced themselves that Jesus didn't really have a human body. It just seemed that he had a body. Docetists complained that Jesus only appeared to be a physical being. And I get the impulse behind Docetism because really, no self-respecting God would become a human being when being human meant being irretrievably fragile. What can it mean that God slipped into the vulnerability of human skin and was made flesh? It seems like a lousy idea in a way, given the very sloppy and broken reality of our physical lives as humans. Our bodies bruise and decay and sag incessantly towards the earth. So why in the world would God not spare God's self the indignity of having things like sweat glands and hiccups? God's gospel, John's gospel, bears witness to a sensual God. Jesus washed human feet, smelled perfume, and tasted abundant wine. He used spit and dirt to heal a blind man, and his gut churned when he looked upon the hungry crowds. Salty tears ran down his face. He smelled the stink of death on Lazarus, his friend. Jesus' very own flesh tore when he was beaten and crucified. When he rose from the dead, he told Thomas to touch his wounded side, which was not perfected, but bore the scars of having lived. Then, as one of his final acts on earth, he ate grilled fish on a beach. These experiences of the body are not things to be spiritually transcended. They are perhaps the very things in which we find Christ. If we can wrap our imagination around this idea of spirit and flesh coming together, that changes things. That changes how we treat immigrants and refugees in our midst. That changes how we respond to those who willfully emit carcinogens and pulmonary irritants into our atmosphere. That changes how we respond to sex trafficking. And it changes how we feel about our own death. Every day we need to decide how are we going to respond to these issues and others. Every day we need to decide how seriously we're going to take this business of abiding in Christ. Some days we just might find it too hard. Some days we just might reject this notion of spirit infusing life. Some days we just might want to avoid the discussion altogether. And if this describes you on any given day, know that you are welcome here. As they say in AA, just keep coming back. But I pray, however, there may be more days of clarity, more days when we hear Jesus ask, "Do you also wish to go away?" And more days when we respond by saying, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that are eternally life-giving. We've come to believe and know your way." Would you pray with me? Lord, we are a people who gravitate towards simple answers, and we like to keep up of appearances of grasping complex things. Allow us to forgive ourselves, to be merciful to ourselves as we struggle with hard truths and confusing and sometimes seemingly contradictory things. Help us to trust enough to follow in your way. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let us